Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Yesterday, I had the privilege of officiating a wedding ceremony. It was the wedding of a former camper of mine. Like, I was his camp counselor. It's a little interesting to understand that some of the kids who are my campers are old enough to get married now. Trying to sort of reconcile that. And I did this wedding yesterday. I actually have one more for a different young lady who... is getting married in 2 weeks. So there's like all these camp weddings happening in my experience. And at the wedding rehearsal the day before, I was sitting around. We were having a meal, not only with the bride and groom, but several of the groomsmen were also campers at this camp. And I began this conversation with one of these groomsmen who was talking about his three young boys. He has three young boys ranging in age from about a year and a half to three. And he describes his middle child as a bruiser and talks about the way his middle child likes to wrestle with him in the living room in ways that makes his wife sort of panic. And all that sounded familiar to me because my youngest son is a bit of a bruiser. He's sitting right here, yes. And Zachary, yes, big old smile, well done, well done. Zachary also likes to wrestle with Dad in the living room in ways that make Beth, my loving wife, panic. Here's the three-step process of how Zachary likes to jump on his dad. Yeah, is that true for you? Yeah. So step one, get a running start. Well, it's important to build up speed because that way you can jump both higher and farther. Good. So step one is get a running start. Step two is when you get just close enough that you're about to take out your dad, that's when the leaping begins. Leap as far and as high as you can with as much force as your body can manage. That kid's strong. Step three, always lead with your knees. Whether you are jumping directly into Dad's torso, or if you see Dad laying on the couch or the floor, step one, full speed. Step two, leap with as much force as you can. Step three, lead with your knees. And there's no shortage of times where the running and leaping happens where then I have to have a rest. And I have to have some time to heal. Now, to be fair, I love those times. Like, I love, love, love those times. And, ouch! I need the time to heal. I really do. And that's sort of this joy-filled time of playing and healing. And I wouldn't give up that healing time for anything. But there are other times that we experience need to experience healing that are a little less joy-filled. I share this news with you. Some of you know this and some of you don't. But I recently had a biopsy done on a little thing over my eye. And it turns out that I have a basal cell carcinoma. It's either a basal cell carcinoma or a squamous cell carcinoma. Now, my family has a history of cancer, and so anytime there's anything like that, that sounds scary to me. But my doctor reassures me, and so I'm happy to share with you that it's like the kind of carcinoma, like it doesn't spread anywhere, right? It doesn't go. There's no risk for that. It's cut it out and you're done, and wear more sunscreen, right? It's that. My dad's had a bunch of those removed, so there's all that. But I have to tell you that not only, you know, do I look forward to some healing, not only physical healing, but it's a little scary just because, like, I lost my mom to breast cancer, so the whole cancer word is a bad word in my house. And so some spiritual healing, some emotional healing. But healing's not just about me. I thought you should know that. Good. Because I think that when I think about some of my friends and neighbors and colleagues that I've known who have done the honor of serving in our armed services, I'd like to take a minute and ask any of those who have served in any of our branches of the armed services to just stand up for a second and let us thank you. Everyone that I've known who has served in any of our armed services, it changes people. And very often it changes people in the conversations I've had in amazing and profound ways. And for many, it changes people in some very challenging ways, in ways where there is a need for healing, whether that's spiritual or emotional or physical healing. And as we celebrate Memorial Day this weekend, I think about the unimaginably high rate of suicides among those who have served in the various branches of the military. So I think it's an opportunity for us to explore the possibility for healing. For we as United Methodists who are coming off of General Conference from a couple of years ago, who are struggling with some of the statements that were made at General Conference, especially those that are related to inclusivity of our lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual, queer, intersex siblings, I think some of what came out of General Conference can be both troubling and hopeful in this weird and bizarre way where we're not really sure what to think about it, and so we too might be in need of healing. And so with all this conversation about healing in mind, I think it's best to turn our thoughts to Scripture. I'll read from you from the Gospel of Luke, beginning with chapter 7, the first 10 verses. It's interesting, this story is only reflected in one other of the Gospels. It's reflected in Matthew. The preceding text, for many of the chapters that precede this chapter, the author of Luke seems to get it from Mark. If you remember some of the conversations we've had, most scholars agree that the Gospel of Mark was written first, Matthew was written later, and then Luke was written last, and John is a whole other conversation. But in terms of the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Mark first, then Matthew, then Luke. But it's interesting that the preceding scriptures, the author of Luke gets those from Matthew, but then, I'm sorry, gets those from Mark, but then walks away from Mark a little bit to tell this story. And it's a story about healing, and it's an interesting story that I think it's helpful for us to understand a little bit of context. We'll read about a centurion, and we must remember the context that this story takes place in. See, if it's a centurion, it means it's a representative of the Roman occupying power. And we've had conversation about how, for the people who are natives to this country, to this land, anyone who is part of that occupying power, there's a tenuous relationship. You don't necessarily like the soldier who's holding you guard in your own home or your own country. And yet this particular centurion has integrated himself in positive ways into the community. And we'll read about that as we get into the scripture. Again, this is chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. I'm reading from the Common English Bible. That's the translation I'm reading. After Jesus finished presenting all his words among the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion had a servant who was very important to him, but the servant was ill and about to die. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to Jesus to ask him to come and heal his servant. See, we can already see that this centurion has had a positive effect, we think, on the community around him. He doesn't send his own soldiers to find Jesus. He sends Jewish elders. And as we're about to see, they're Jewish elders who speak positively about him. When they came to Jesus, they earnestly pleaded with Jesus. He deserves to have you do this for him. They said, he loves our people and he built our synagogue for us. You see that he's been a positive impact on the community around him. Even though he's a representative of the Roman government, he has chosen to involve himself in a community in a positive and a life-giving way. And he hears about this man, Jesus from Nazareth, who at the time many people would have named as a prophet. Well, only some of those who were closest to Jesus would see him as more than that. He has the faith to reach out to this one who may be seen as a prophet. Even though he is an outsider, he has the faith to reach out for one he cares about deeply. Well, so Jesus went with them, the Jewish elders. Jesus went with them. He had almost reached the house when the centurion sent friends to say to Jesus. Now, it's interesting. He sends friends this time. He doesn't send other elders. It's almost a change in conversation, and yet he approaches this with a great deal of humility. He sends friends to say to Jesus, "Lord, don't be bothered. I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. In fact, I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you." You see how humble he is. "Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. I'm also a man appointed under authority with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and the servant does this." When Jesus heard these words, this acknowledgement of Jesus' authority, when Jesus heard these words, he was impressed with the centurion. He turned to the crowd following him and said, "I tell you, even in Israel, I haven't found faith like this." When the centurion's friends returned to his house, they found their servant restored to health. So the first thing I wish to just read from the surface of this text is the call that even if we feel ourselves absent of Christ, that we might in faith still turn and seek healing. And in faith, have the hope that healing might come to us, that we might have the opportunity to experience profound healing. As we think about those who have been affected by war, those who have been affected by loss, loss in a number of ways, whether it's loss due to divorce or mental illness or separation in some other way, loss due to death, that we might see a possibility for hope and faith and healing, even when in those times we may feel like Jesus is far away. We might be assured that Jesus in his authority is closer than we think, and that healing becomes possible for us. But I also think it's important for us to read a little bit more deeply into this text. And I think it's especially important for us to recognize the possibility in this text. We who are a congregation who identifies with the Reconciling Ministries Network, a congregation who is as particularly welcoming to all persons regardless of the ways that we divide ourselves, a congregation that is particularly welcoming to our gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender siblings, especially in light of some of the harmful dialogue that's happening in our midst, some of the harmful things that have been said, even within our United Methodist connection, even as we continue to decompress from the events at General Conference. And so with that in mind, I invite you to consider the ancient Greek in which these passages were written. There's a word that is translated as servant. Now, there are several ways that we might hear the word servant, there are several Greek words, or a couple of different Greek words that are both translated as servant in this text. And they don't necessarily mean the same thing. And there's a Greek word, my Greek pronunciation is terrible, so I say it pais, it might be pais, but it's spelled, in the English alphabet, it's spelled P-A-I-S. And it's an ancient Greek word that has several meanings. One could mean son, one could mean servant, and one could be a same-gender partner. So in this text, a number of scholars, and clearly there's disagreement, but a number of scholars argue that in this particular text, there is a Roman centurion seeking healing and aid for his same-gender partner. And how does Jesus respond? This is a clear opportunity for Jesus, if he says this is not okay, to say this is not okay, and that is not what happens. Instead, he offers a profound sense of healing. Now, I want to be completely transparent with the meaning of that particular word, especially in its cultural context, because this relationship between centurion and servant or same-gender partner is not necessarily one that we would affirm today, and yet it's one that was certainly common among Roman centurions, but also common especially around areas of Greece, where it was an older man, anywhere from 18 to 30, and a younger boy, anywhere from 13 to 18. While we wouldn't necessarily affirm the age difference, we might see that this text is one where all persons are offered grace and healing, where all persons are offered the possibility of hope and love. You see, whether or not we think about our United Methodist connection or our broader Christian connection, we must remember the deep teachings that are possible in our sacred texts. That whether we think about this verse or the verse we explored a few weeks ago in Acts where Peter preaches to the Gentiles, whether we think about the relationship between David and Jonathan, my friends, there are more than six scriptures to which we might look that speak to the deep and profound love that happens in committed relationships. My friends, I invite you to consider the possibility of hope, even when we don't know what the future brings. As we think about our United Methodist connection, as we think about a special commission by the bishops to explore issues of human sexuality, to explore the possibility of changing language in our book of discipline that many consider to be harmful, as we consider some of the voices on either side of the argument that argue for schism in the church, my friends, I believe there is room for hope. And it's a healing that I think will happen from beyond us. I think it's a healing that will be set into motion by a God who continues to speak to us. It's a healing that I believe will be set into motion by a Christ who continues to heal us all, who continues to offer that sacrificial love. And it's a healing that will be put into place by a Holy Spirit that I believe still continues to move in us. My friends, I believe that for all the ways that we may feel broken and in need of healing, there is a possibility for hope. I believe there is an opportunity for healing. Indeed, my friends, I believe there's an opportunity for celebration. And so I invite you to consider when it's time to leave this place, when it's time to return to our homes, whether they be near or far, to embrace our life in a particular way. Let us run at full speed. Let us leap headlong with great joy and energy. And let us lead, maybe not with our knees, but let us lead with passion and hope. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we are grateful for the lessons that come to us, not only from the sacred text that leads us to you, but from the youngest of voices in our midst. We are grateful, O God, to know you, to know of your deep and compassionate love, to know that when there is brokenness, that you are there to fill in those cracks. We are grateful for the healing that is possible, for the hope that is possible, for the peace that is possible in you. We pray in the name of the Christ who continues to heal. Amen.